in this Fostering Faith episode. And if you're listening to it when it drops, we drop every Thursday at 5 in the morning because I am an early riser. And in this episode, it's just so funny because God just teaches you so much stuff if you just listen. But if you're like me, it just takes a long time for it to sink in. And people tell you all the things and you just ignore them. And then you have a moment where it just kind of all falls into place. And so in this episode, we're going to be calling it God's Prescription, Time with Him. And so, hey, friends, welcome back to Fostering Faith. I am so glad that you're here today. And I've got something to tell you that if I could write out the best prescription in the world, it would not come from Walgreens or CVS or even a specialty pharmacy. It would have unlimited refills, zero copay, no long pharmacy lines, and absolutely no prior auths. But also, too, the great part about this prescription is there is no side effects. And so you may be wondering, yes, sign me up. I want something to help me with all the problems and how to get through life and everything like that. And I'm here to say, yes, this is the best prescription. And I will also say, absolutely, medications when possible, medications when applicable, because, I mean, there are medications out there for a reason. But what we're going to be talking about today is time with Him. And so what is the best prescription that you can hand to somebody? And that's time with God. And so now let me pause because I know what you're thinking. Tracy, I do spend time with God. I've prayed, I've begged, and my husband still cheated. My kids still walked away, and my health did not improve. My marriage didn't get better. My bank account didn't magically fill itself. And you're right. This is where we need to be real. Time with God isn't a magic pill. It's not a genie in a bottle. And when you say the right words three times, poof, everything gets better. The prescription isn't about controlling your life's outcomes. It's about anchoring yourself in the one who doesn't change, even when everything around you does. And so we have Psalm 46:1 that says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. That verse doesn't say that He would prevent trouble. It says that He is present in it. And that's the prescription that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about how life can suck and how it is going to happen, but we need to be with the ultimate physician. And so let's dive in. So we're going to be talking about what it looks like to take this prescription daily in parenting, marriage, and when life leaves you torn to pieces. And if you read the prescription on the thing, you know, it's the prescription label to read that you might just laugh at. So just kind of stick with me for that. And so let's talk about a parenting prescription. And so let's be honest. And let's go back. And so I want to say the reason why we're going to do this episode is because He just teaches me so much. And so you've heard me say many a times on here that I'm very fast paced, that I just want, I get things done. I've made comments on here about how I'm fast paced. My husband is slow paced, how my husband always says, slow down, slow down, slow down. I'm going to tie your shoes together, all the things. And so God will use people in your life to speak to you. We just have to be paying attention. And so my whole life I have been told to slow down. It's, even on grade cards, whenever I was in, kindergarten, it was like Tracy has to finish her work first. She has to be the first one done. And it's just kind of been my pace through life. And so I did go back to school. I am in seminary right now. And I tried to have three classes in seminary, and my advisor was like, no, like you can't do that. Like you have a full-time job and this is hard. This is like really critically thinking. And I'm just like, bruh, excuse me. My last master's class, I took 17 hours, worked full-time, did didactic, did clinicals, did all the things and made straight A's. Like I can do this. Like you don't understand what's under this hood. Like I got this. I'm good. And she said, no, like, you're not doing it. You can do two classes and see how it goes. And so I was just like, huh, okay, okay. She's like, we don't want you to rush through classes. We don't want you to just to get the work done. We want you to be transformed. We want you to sit with God and wrestle with him and learn how to just be with him. And I was like, I'm with him every day. Like, I spend all day with this man and you want me to spend more time with him. Okay. And then, so we get into class and the first assignment is over Acts 1:8. And so it is, I'll just read it to you. And so Acts 1:8 is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea, in Samaria, and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. And that's all the information that you have. You have no forward of the Bible. You have no back part of the Bible. That is the only piece of paper that you have. And you have to give 25 observations over this. You cannot use a study Bible. It is just you, your word, the Bible, nothing else. You, God, the Holy Spirit, and that is it. And so you have to come up with 25 observations, and that's all you have. And so what can you observe from that? You have no knowledge. You have no, you've never heard of Jesus. You have to be a completely blank slate and let him just illuminate it. And the professor was like, I know that you're going to get annoyed with this. I know that you're going to be frustrated with that. And that's fine. I need you to wrestle. I need you to wrestle with this and just spend time with him. And you're going to think that you can only come up with 8 or 9 and that is it. And you're just like, there's no other observations in this text and this is it and all the things. And it really is just so funny that it just time and time again, he's like, slow down, slow down, spend time with me. Spend time with me. It's me. It's me that you want. And so I just think it's just so good and so wonderful that he just does not give up on me or you or all the people that are hard-headed and don't listen. And he's just such a good, he's such a good father. And so that's where kind of like I got this idea about just a prescription, just time with him. I mean, because that's all you have sometimes is just you, him, and the Holy Spirit. And so let's get on with the podcast. And so we are going to be talking about parenting prescriptions. And so let's be honest, parenting is not for the faint of heart. And sometimes it feels like you're hurting like cats that have like rabies. I mean, it's just, it's messy. It's everywhere. And you don't know what's going on. And the cat may not even be nice. And I don't like cats. I'm super allergic to them and it's fine. I just don't bring them around me. I'm talking about hormones and moods and iPhones and attitudes. And we have Proverbs 22:6 that says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And whenever he is old, he will not depart. That sounds great, right? But notice that it didn't say whenever he was young. It says that whenever he is old, which means there's a whole lot of messy middle when it looks like everything that you've poured out into your kid is not sticking. It is about having this kid that you have raised for 15 years. You grew, you know, inside your womb if you didn't adopt. And it is, how in the world did I love this child that has lost their mind? And so, you're thinking, God, I've prayed. I have raised them in church. I have quoted scripture over them. I have prayed. I have anointed. I have spoken in tongues over this child. And now my son is vaping behind the school ground. My daughter is rolling her eyes at me so hard. I'm afraid that they're going to get stuck in the back of her head. And so it is about, can we talk about the prodigal son in Luke 15? He was raised in his father's house, that he had love, he had provisions, he had blessing. And what does he do? He left. He squandered all of it. He hit rock bottom. And that's what his father didn't do. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't say, well, I guess you failed as a parent. No, the Bible says that he watched and waited. And when his son came home, he was ready with open arms. And so parents, that's a prescription. You can't control your kids' choices. You can't force maturity. You can't skip them past the hard lessons. But you can stay faithful. You can pray. You can model what it looks like to walk with Jesus, even when your kids don't. And here's something practical. Pray out loud in front of them. And not like a fake, see how holy I am kind of way. It's the real, Lord, I do not know what I do here. Please give me wisdom. The kind like James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to call without finding fault. And so when teenagers slam the door, take prescriptions the right way and hear, pray, breathe, and remember, this isn't about a quick fix. This is about long-term healing. Now, let me say something that I think is kind of funny. So taking time with God is, as a parent, it's like your vitamins. You don't always feel the difference immediately. And please let me know, I love some supplements. But you skip a week and suddenly you're snapping at everybody in the drive-thru line because you forgot your fries. Time with God is like that. You may not notice a change in a day, a week, a month, but if you stick with it, it's over time. That's what makes the difference. And so let's move on to the prescription for marriage. And so, no, I'm not a marriage expert. No, I don't have a perfect marriage for you to go off of. I do have a marriage that has been a mess. We have been together for over half my life, and we've been married for over 20 plus years. And so I don't have a perfect prescription, but what I do have is a God that's seen us struggle and put us back together. And so right now, let's talk about marriage. And so because parenting is hard, marriage is even harder. And if that can feel like you're trying to sync two completely different operating systems together, Droid and iPhone. And so you're trying to squish these two people together. And now I just thought about that. We really are. I have an iPhone and my husband still has a Droid. And my dislike for Apple and my love for Droid is just, it's just something else. But that's for another episode. And so maybe you're listening right now and your husband doesn't even want to go to church. You're dragging your kids on Sunday morning. He's still in bed and you're thinking, God, why am I carrying this alone? Or maybe you've prayed and he still cheated, or she still cheated, or, you know, there is no romance left in your life. I mean, what is romance? What is that? Like, I don't even know what that is. And so it fizzled out. It was left beside the laundry, the bills, the arguments. And let's just say it, it is hard work. Prayer does not override free will. People still make choices, and sometimes devastating choices. But here's a prescription in Isaiah 54:5, and it says, your maker is your husband. The Almighty is his name. Meaning, even when your earthly marriage feels shaky, your covenant with God is unshakable. And you have John 15:5 that says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's that verse isn't just for ministry. It's for marriage. You can't bear fruit by yourself. You can't fix your spouse, but you can abide. You can stay connected to the vine. And let me just, okay, so let's just say it kind of more practical. And so stop trying to be the Holy Spirit for your husband. That's not your job. And it's not your job, even if you're a male listening to this. You're not your wife's Holy Spirit. That's not your role. Your role is to abide in Christ, love with patience, and trust God with the rest. And so that doesn't mean tolerate abuse or betrayal. Absolutely not. That's not what we're saying. boundaries are biblical, but it does mean you anchor yourself in God's love first, because that's the only love that will never fail. And so a marriage prescription label should read, caution, may increase patience towards husband who leaves socks on the floor, does not substitute nagging for prayer, it reduces effectiveness, and results may vary. Consult the greater physician for clarity. And so, friends, marriage is messy, but God's prescription isn't about a perfect spouse. It's about the perfect presence, His presence. And so as you guys are going through rough times, it's about having that open, honest communication. And it takes two people to make a marriage. And it's about you going to counseling. It may be him going to counseling. It's about you guys coming together. But no, your job is not to fix your spouse. Your job is not to fix his heart. It is about you being that person at 4 o'clock on your knees, praying for your husband, praying for your kid, praying for your wife, your wayward kids. And it's about that connection, because you're never going to change someone's heart. That is your Father's job. That is God's job. Quit trying to take his job. You're not qualified for it. You never will be. So stop doing it. And so what happens whenever you feel torn? Let's talk about the moments where it's not just one thing. It's everything. It's your kids. It's your marriage. It's your job. It's your bills. It's your emotions. You're torn in 10 different directions and you don't even know what to pray. You're just like, you have so many things and you don't even know where to begin. But you have Jesus that said in John 16:33, it says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Notice he didn't say, follow me and you'll avoid trouble. He said, trouble is guaranteed, but so is my victory. And so we just had this discussion today. And so I was talking with a friend and she's had all the things. And she was baptized and she just felt like her life fell apart. And I'm like, duh, because you just gave your life to Christ. What literally happened in scripture? Jesus was baptized. He went and spent 40 days in the wilderness with Satan. He literally says in scripture, trouble is going to come. Why do we act surprised when it does? He already told us that that's what was going to happen. And so I laughed kind of at her and in a loving way, because we knew that this was going to happen. You gave your life to Christ. It is not cupcakes and rainbows. It is about, we know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We know that he's not given up on us. We know that he is faithful. We know that he has died on the cross for us, and that death is defeated, and that we have the ability to stomp on the enemy's head with our heels. We're going to crush him. And we get upset whenever trouble comes our way. Why? It's not because we didn't know. It's because we didn't time in scripture. We didn't spend time with him to know that. And so we know that trouble is going to come. And so it's not about erasing the storm. It's not about any of that. It's about being anchored in it. And so you have Philippians 4:7-6 that says, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation by prayer or petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. That peace doesn't come with an instant result. It is not Instapot, but it does come with an unshakable presence. And here's the practical part of it. Making time with God is as ordinary as brushing your teeth, 5 minutes in the car before work, worship music while you're folding laundry, reading Psalms before you go to bed. It's little doses, microdosing. Everyone's talking about microdosing. Microdosing, the new GLPs and like all this other stuff. I mean, so little microdoses of Jesus. He did not say that you have to spend 30 minutes with me, 20 minutes with me, and you have to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Keep it simple, saint. Talk to him all throughout the day. He's with you. Pray in the morning, pray at lunch, pray in the evening. Have a Bible verse on your phone, and that way you can memorize it. And so these prescriptions, yes, they are real, that they are going to help you get through these things. But in that same instance, we're going to land, you know. And so sometimes whenever you pray that your husband is better, people are going to do what they can. I mean, they have free will. And so let's land it here. And so sometimes you will pray and your husband or wife was going to cheat. Sometimes you pray and your kids will still wonder. Sometimes you pray and the illness won't go away. That's real. But God's prescription was never about guaranteeing outcomes. It's about guaranteeing his presence. Psalm 34:18 that says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And that's the promise. Not that everyone gets fixed, but that you are never alone in the breaking. And today, fill the prescription. Take it with coffee. Take it with tears. Take it with laughter. But take it. Take the prescription. Take it again tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Because with him, you'll never run out of refills. And so we hope this message encouraged you. And we could go into prescriptions for every one of these in so much more detail. And so if you guys want a deeper podcast, please leave comments, write them down below, send us messages. We are here to help walk and foster your faith with you guys. We love you guys. We would love to pray for you. And so dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these listeners. Thank you so much that you have allowed us your presence in the midst of what we have no idea what is going on. Thank you for children that are not what we thought that they would be, because you are going to mold them and you're going to shape them and you're going to have a greater testimony, because we want your will for our marriage. We want your will for our children, because they are your sons and they're your daughters. Thank you for the prescription just to be in your presence. Thank you that you've never left us. Thank you that you've never forsaken us. Thank you that you are such a good Father. Thank you that you have been the best husband. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so if this message encouraged you, send it to somebody, share it, like it, put some comments down there. Until next time, have an amazing week, and we love you guys.